Welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we're joined by John Light to discuss the novel introduction of validity proofs to Bitcoin. We talk about how it could increase mining fee revenues for Bitcoin miners, the cost for economic full nodes, and if there's a silver bullet solution for scaling Bitcoin. John, welcome to the Mining Pod. Thank you so much for your time. I'm really excited for today's conversation. Basically, going back to your report that you published a few months ago now about how validity proofs or ZK rollups is the more general term, I suppose, that a lot of people have been using incorrectly, how they could be used for Bitcoin and what they mean for Bitcoin mining. There's a lot of implications for Bitcoin miners who are definitely needing some more revenue right now. But again, thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, so we'll dive into it. First, if we could actually just give a little recap on yourself and your story as it pertains to ZK rollups and validity proofs. I know that you worked with the Human Rights Foundation to make this report, so maybe give the audience a little context for that before we go a little further into the conversation.
Yeah, sure. So the Human Rights Foundation published a call for proposals at the beginning of 2022, asking for people to submit their proposals for producing a report about validity rollups or ZK rollups on Bitcoin. The recipient of the grant, or the winning proposal, would get a grant for one Bitcoin to produce this report over a 4-month fellowship, and it was co-sponsored by Starkware and CMS Holdings. And I have a background in researching Bitcoin cross-chain protocols and scaling protocols, things like sidechains, atomic swaps, and rollups. And so I thought I could use my existing knowledge to contribute to this report, and so I submitted an application and ended up getting the fellowship. And so for 4 months last year, I spent some time doing research, interviewing a lot of other researchers, engineers, and other experts in the field who are working on either validity rollups directly or adjacent problems. And at the end of it, had this report, shared it with the community. I've been getting a lot of great feedback from people. And now I'm at the point where, I'm just trying to educate the community about the potential. And I'm really glad for opportunities like this to speak to the mining community and anyone else who happens to watch this show.
Awesome. Yeah, this report was definitely well accepted by the community, which is funny because a lot of times Bitcoiners are not always the ones who want to see some sort of, changes to Bitcoin. A lot of fans of ossification out there, it seems, these days. So I was pretty impressed by people accepting this report when it first came out. But let's first define the problem for Bitcoin and then talk about what zero-knowledge rollups on top of Bitcoin could do. But yeah, hand it back to you. What's the problem that we're trying to fix for Bitcoin?
When it comes to validity rollups, I think there are actually a number of different problems that this touches on. One of those problems is scaling. So how do we support more users of Bitcoin without increasing the burden on full nodes or miners? Another problem is extensibility, which is basically a fancy word of saying, how do we add more features to Bitcoin so people can do more different types of transactions or secure their Bitcoin in different types of ways than Bitcoin currently supports. And, you can look at a subset of that. There's kind of, this persistent problem with Bitcoin since the beginning of privacy, where, it's because all of the Bitcoin transactions are public. The metadata about the transactions is public. Once you kind of connect somebody's identity to a Bitcoin address, it becomes pretty easy to like follow their activity around the blockchain, and maybe even figure out like how much money they have, who they're doing business with, and things like that. And so privacy, you can think of as like a subset of like the larger group of features that maybe we would want to add to Bitcoin or improve on Bitcoin. But there are a lot of other things that people want to do with their Bitcoins too, like new kinds of self-custodial schemes using like vault technology or covenants, different types of smart contracts, like some of the things you're seeing on other blockchains with peer-to-peer finance. And so when we ask ourselves about extensibility, it's really about just, you know, being able to do more with your Bitcoin or have more features and things that you can, different kinds of ways that you can use your Bitcoin. So those are some of the problems that somewhat amazingly, like validity rollups can address kind of all at the same time. It's not a silver bullet, and we'll kind of get into some of the limitations, but it is a quite powerful technology in that it is able to at least make some forward progress on those problems.
Yeah, thanks for the quick explanation there. It's pretty succinct. Let's talk about validity proofs themselves. And as we were just talking about before the show, ZK rollups are a subset of validity proofs. Maybe just back up the truck a little bit for our entire audience, which probably isn't very familiar with this sort of solution for scaling blockchains.
Yeah, so a validity rollup is a blockchain that has a strong connection to a parent blockchain. So in this context, Bitcoin would be the parent blockchain, and then you could build a rollup that is another blockchain that has a strong connection to Bitcoin. And what that strong connection gives you is a secure bridge so that you can transfer Bitcoins from the main chain to the rollup and then back to Bitcoin securely, like with full kind of self-custodial security, just as if you own the coins on, you know, Bitcoin layer one. And then another feature that you get out of the rollup protocol is that the rollup fully inherits the double spend security of Bitcoin layer one transactions. So once a rollup transaction gets confirmed in a layer one block or in a Bitcoin block, you have to actually reorg that Bitcoin block in order to reorg the rollup transaction. So it's just as secure from a double spend perspective as any transaction that you would make on layer one. So with those two features combined, the like secure bridge between Bitcoin and the rollup and the full inheritance of layer one double spend security, what you get is a security model where owning coins and transferring or receiving coins on the rollup is equally secure to owning coins, transferring and receiving coins on layer one. The magic comes from the validity proof, which is a cryptographic proof that proves the validity of all of the transactions that are happening in the rollup, similar to the way that a digital signature, when you sign a Bitcoin transaction, proves that you own the private keys without having to reveal the private key. You can actually have this validity proof that proves the validity of the transactions that are happening in this other blockchain without whoever's verifying the proof, in this case, layer one full nodes and Bitcoin miners, having to actually rerun all of the computation to execute those transactions and, you know, kind of like manually verify those transactions one at a time. They just have to verify this single validity proof that gets posted onto layer one along with some data about the transactions that was in the rollup block. So, you know, you can basically have some transactions that happen over on this rollup. A rollup block producer will bundle those transactions into a block and then produce a validity proof that shows that, you know, all of the transactions in this block are conforming to the validity rollup protocol, as well as the Bitcoin protocol itself. And then the, you know, that bundle of transactions and the validity proof gets posted to layer one. And then layer one full nodes will store the data about the transactions and then just verify that the validity proof is actually valid. And if it's valid, then it gets accepted and miners can safely include that in their block. And then, you know, the process proceeds for the next rollup block and the next rollup block after that. So it's kind of like it's a blockchain that's like running parallel to Bitcoin. Every so often, the block producers can do this kind of, you can think of it almost like a checkpoint process, but it's really a confirmation process of confirming blocks into layer one Bitcoin blocks, unlike sidechains where you have, you know, the data is stored off chain and Bitcoin full nodes aren't doing any kind of verification of the transactions that are happening there. Instead, you have layer one full nodes that are validating through the validity proof all of the transactions that are happening over there, and that's how you're able to get that full security between Bitcoin and the rollup.
You've practiced this a few times because your pitch is perfect. You're really being so succinct here. I appreciate that. A few follow-up questions on this in terms of like the architecture for it. The only knowledge I have it is really from Ethereum land, where they have developed a lot of different rollups, whether it be optimistic or zero knowledge. A lot of times they have like their own node set up and then those nodes push things to the main chain. What sort of changes would be made for Bitcoin in order to allow this architecture to work? And would you have to run a full like roll up node somewhere else, or would this be able to all roll completely through a Bitcoin node, or would a company have to run like a roll up server? What would that sort of look like?
Well, the design space for roll ups is pretty broad, similar to any other kind of blockchain. So you could have a rollup that's run by a single node. You could have rollups that are run by multiple nodes that have some sort of, you know, consensus protocol between them to decide who actually gets the right to produce a block. The design space is, I would say, fairly open. But you would have at least some changes to Bitcoin layer one to enable the validity rollup protocol. So you would add changes to Bitcoin, enough changes that you could actually build the rollup smart contract or script, which would actually hold the funds that people move into the rollup. And then you would also need to add some logic for verifying the validity proof that gets posted back to layer one by the rollup block producers, so that layer one full nodes can know how to actually verify that validity proof and ensure the security of those transactions. And yeah, beyond that, it's, like I said, the design space is fairly open in terms of how you actually want to build your rollup. It just depends on maybe the application, as well as like the preferences of the users, what the market wants, that kind of, what stage of development the rollup might be in, you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Appreciate that. So let's talk about nomenclature for a second before turning over to mining. In your report itself, which we'll for sure link in today's show notes, you talk about the scaling improvements versus throughput. And this is an idea going back to James Prestwich in like 2020. And I mean, it's been in like rollup discourse, I should say. I don't even know if that's a term, but I'll use it now. Rollup discourse for a little bit. The idea that like, just because you're able to add more transactions to a blockchain through a second layer doesn't mean that you're scaling it. It just means that you're increasing throughput. And the idea behind that is more about the hardware cost, right? So what you just mentioned there was like, you could have a lot of different architectures for different rollup designs. And if you're using a server to process all these rollups, then you're not really increasing scaling for individual blockchain. you're increasing the throughput because you're adding more hardware on top of it. And I want to like just get your thoughts on that. Maybe you can define a little bit better than I have, then just right there, or summarize it a little bit better than I have. What's your thought on like scaling Bitcoin versus increasing the throughput of Bitcoin?
Yeah, so the way that I think about this is that scaling means that you're able to increase the number of transactions that is possible, but you can just call it throughput. Maybe you can increase the throughput without increasing your cost of validation. And so you're able to support more transactions on the same hardware for, you know, roughly the same cost, maybe you can increase your transactions, you know, by 10x or 100x and only increase your costs by like 2x. Like that would be a pretty good trade-off. But if you have like this linear relationship between increases in throughput and increases in cost, you know, some scaling people would say like, that's not really scaling. You're just adding more costs, which is in computer science, it's like the brute force way of like scaling a system. It's just add more computers. And you can do more things. But in the Bitcoin context, just adding more computers means making the process of participating as a full node more expensive, which raises the barrier to running a full node, which means that fewer people can do it, which over time centralizes the network into the hands of those fewer and fewer people who can actually validate that the rules are being followed, or in the case of mining, actually like mine competitively.
Gotcha. Well, let's move over to mining, which our audience, I'm sure, has been waiting with a bated breath to talk about. Miners right now are suffering from really low hash price. If you look at fees as well, fees are basically all-time lows. Again, the chart I saw, and someone can correct me in the comments if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure I saw this yesterday, was that fees were the lowest in 2022 for Bitcoin than they ever have been when priced in Satoshi. So like, it's tough being a miner when you're looking at fees, because you'd want to get some fee revenue, but it's not really happening. And scaling solutions are interesting, or throughput solutions even, just because you can have more applications on top of Bitcoin, or more transactions at the very least, and then increase the amount of fees going to the base layer. Or at least that's one idea that's been talked about with like Lightning and Starkware and things of that nature. So I want to throw the question over to you. Talk about mining and Bitcoin, mining and ZK proofs. How do these things interact, and what are your expectations for mining revenue? Would this even help mining revenue?
Yeah, I do think that validity rollups could help mining revenue. And I think it helps in two different ways. One is that validity rollups enable more throughput. So it does enable more Bitcoin, or more transactions that have Bitcoin level of security and self-custody, as I described earlier. In my report, which is at bitcoinrollups.org, if anyone wants to dig into the numbers that I'm about to talk about, I show how, under certain assumptions, without actually raising the block weight limit at all, we could fit approximately 250,000 transactions per block if, like, a validity rollup block were to take up, you know, all of the space, all of the available space within our current 4 million weight unit limit. And that is approximately 100 times more than the average number of transactions that, you know, is in any given block that you'll look at on the blockchain today. I think the actual limit is closer to like 2,000, or not limit, but the actual average is closer to around 2,000 transactions per block. But you'll occasionally see some blocks that go up to like 2,500 or thereabouts. I think, you know, so you can imagine a couple of different scenarios. One is like there's more transactions. They're paying smaller fees relative to if those had been L1 transactions, but because there are so many more transactions, the miners end up making more money from that block. Another scenario you can imagine is that the fees per transaction, or the cost per transaction, stays the same as your current average cost of a transaction in a block. But because you can fit so many more transactions in a block, the miners are just making even more money. So, if the cost per transaction is the same as like today, and you can fit 100 times more transactions, that implies 100 times more fee revenue from the transactions that are getting confirmed in that block. And then there's another scenario, which is, I think, maybe, the most interesting to imagine, is that validity rollups enable new kinds of use cases that attract people who on net are going to pay more per transaction than they do today. And so in that scenario, you have, your average cost per transaction increasing, and you're fitting more transactions in a block. And so, you're kind of stacking these multipliers on top of each other. On top of that, you have, you can build more protocols on top of validity rollups that are also paying fees, which ultimately push up the cost of getting a rollup transaction confirmed, which, ends up in more revenue for miners on layer one. So I think there's a whole bunch of potential here for making Bitcoin more valuable and also increasing utility for users and utility or revenues for miners.
Totally. Yeah, I think the revenue part is really interesting there. And I'm wondering, with the amount of Bitcoin miners now in North America, if this is going to be like a more mainstream conversation as it was, back in 2017 or 2016, with like the scaling wars about like, should we increase the block size? And what does that mean for miner revenue? What does that mean for miners and their ability to produce going forward? And we do see this conversation happening on a lot of other chains, right? Where Ethereum has made some trade-offs with its merge and with its EIP 1559 to decrease the amount of Coinbase rewards going to miners, but they're continuing with that long tail. There's still a lot of fees going to people because all these applications built on Ethereum. Bitcoin has sort of gone the other way. So I'm curious to see what it's like. Also curious to get your thoughts, like, is there a silver lining or a silver bullet here? Because it's always like, we want to keep Bitcoin cheap, but we want to have enough rewards on Bitcoin for miners to exist and secure the chain and process transactions, so things of that nature. Do you think this solution could be that? I mean, in your report itself, it does seem to show that you believe it could be that.
I do think that if we adopted validity rollups, it would help with miner revenue, and it would also, through the process of helping with miner revenues, it would increase the likelihood that Bitcoin is sustainable as the Coinbase reward gets closer to zero. Sustainable maybe grows, or at least, the fee revenue is sufficient to secure the blockchain to a level that most users are happy with. Because that's, I think, one of the concerns is that as that Coinbase reward gets closer to zero, fee revenue has to pick up the slack. Otherwise, the hash rate starts going down because mining becomes less and less profitable, and users have to wait longer and longer amounts of time to consider their confirmed transactions to be secure, or you know, secure against double spending. And so the more we can do to like support that hash rate, the more secure Bitcoin is going to be, which, you know, kind of feeds back into the value of Bitcoin itself. Because it, you know, if Bitcoin is secure, then people will trust it with their money. And so, you know, it's this like positive feedback loop in both directions. The more secure it is, the more valuable it is. And the less secure it is, the less valuable it is, the less attractive it is as a value storage platform. So I think because of that potential for both, you know, more transactions, more throughput, as well as more features, being able to do more things with your coins, you know, implementing new security protocols, more new privacy protocols, new peer-to-peer trade and finance protocols, and getting away from some of the centralized custodians and centralized financial intermediaries that exist in the Bitcoin ecosystem, and we've seen, you know, cause all kinds of problems in the past, you know, really since the Gox days, but you know most acutely in the past year, we've seen billions of dollars evaporated by these centralized intermediaries. So if we can actually build like true self-custodial peer-to-peer security and financial solutions on top of Bitcoin, I think that that's going to do a lot to increase the value of Bitcoin, increase utility, increase transaction volumes, and ultimately, you know, support the hash rate, support miner revenues, bring, you know, support the existing miner base, bring more miners into the fold as the revenue increases and we can support more hash power. Like, I think it's all working towards the same goal. And because validity rollups enable these things, I think without imposing like prohibitive burdens on full nodes that could negatively impact decentralization and the security of the network, it seems to me like a really great solution. Maybe not the silver bullet solution, but I think it's a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm glad that you took that question the way you did, because I do think that there's sort of two problems with any sort of scaling solution or layer two or whatever phrase you want to use, right? And they both come down to, one, is there an actual fee problem with Bitcoin? When the Coinbase reward continues to dry up, are fees going to pick it up? Some people deny that's an issue. Some people think it is an issue. And then the second part is, are we adding economic burden to full nodes? And that's what I want to turn towards as the second, because you sort of answered the first one fairly succinctly there. And let's talk about the burdens or full nodes, that validity proofs could bring. Again, I'd point people towards the great charts and graphics that you have in your research report, which we'll include in today's show notes. But there's this talk about weighted units, which is basically like how we're going to weigh the economic cost of adding additional data to the Bitcoin blockchain, and then how it's processed and where it's stored and sits, and how that cost is spread out among users. You also get into a little bit of like the different types of transactions. And I think both those things would be worth explaining a little bit. So I'll hand it over to you before we dive into like the trade-offs talk. Or maybe we could just actually just dive into the trade-offs talk, and if you could define like the weighted units and the different types of transactions as you go along with it.
Yeah, so I think you could associate two costs with validity rollups. One is the storage of the actual rollup data and the validity proof in the Bitcoin block. And then there's the verification cost of actually verifying the proof. I'll talk about the first one, which is related to your question about weight units. So most of your audience probably knows this, but for those who don't, Bitcoin doesn't actually have a block size limit nowadays. That's a legacy term. Like maybe if you're running a pre-SegWit node your node still has a block size limit, but if you have a post SegWit full node, it's enforcing a block weight limit. And so that pre-SegWit block size limit was the famous like 1 megabyte. And then the post SegWit limit is now 4 million weight units. And with SegWit, we got something that was called a witness discount, which means that in SegWit land, any non-witness data is weighed 4 times as heavily or counts as 4 weight units, whereas witness data only counts as 1 weight unit. And so you're able to fit 4 times as much witness data in a block as you could non-witness data. And a lot of my throughput estimates when I was looking at like how many transactions can we fit in a Bitcoin block if the entire block is filled with like a roll-up state update, using the state-of-the-art like compression techniques to fit as many roll-up transactions as possible like into that block. And that's how I came up with that 250,000 transactions per block number. Is I basically said, okay, we're going to apply the witness discount to all of this data, and then as a result of that, we can fit this many transactions per block. And I thought that this was a reasonable thing to do because rollups, layer one full nodes don't actually have to replay or re-execute any of those transactions in the rollup. All they have to do is verify a validity proof. And the validity proof itself is a witness of those transactions. So it gets the witness discount because it's a witness. But then I also apply the witness discount to this other data. And my justification for doing that was, well, full nodes only have to store it. They don't have to execute this. So storage space is like very cheap and it doesn't impose any sort of computational cost on them to have those transactions in the block. Like whether it's one rollup transaction, that's in the rollup state update or 250,000, it's the same cost to the full node to verify the validity proof that goes along with that. So I thought, you know, applying the witness discount to that data was a reasonable thing to do. And so if we were to take advantage of Bitcoin's full 4 million weight unit limit and to like stuff as many rollup transactions as we could get in there, that's how you come out with that 250,000 transactions per block number. Now a 4 million weight unit block is also 4 megabytes, which is about 1.5 megs bigger than the biggest Bitcoin block that's ever been mined to date. I think the record is like 2.77 megabytes or something like that. So it is bigger than like your average Bitcoin block today. But I think the cost to store the full nodes is like the bandwidth cost of like relaying those blocks with 4 megabytes versus 2.7 megabytes of data. And then also the storage cost of storing 4 megabytes of data versus 2.7 megabytes of data. But they're not executing, you know, 4 megabytes worth of transactions as they would if it was a 4 megabyte block filled with layer one transactions. All they're doing is verifying a single validity proof. So those are like the trade-offs. I think is a reasonable trade-off. I also think that it's totally valid to have a debate about this if somebody wants to, you know, object and say, you know, that's cheating, it's 4 megabytes, you know, that's too much, whatever. Like we can have that conversation. but that is the trade-off. And then when it comes to the verification costs, I mentioned, you know, no matter how many roll-up transactions, which is actually like the transactions that are occurring on the roll-up, happen, for each roll-up state update, you verify a single validity proof. And verifying a single validity proof takes like a few milliseconds. It's not significantly different than in time than verifying a Bitcoin signature, like a signature on a Bitcoin address or a Bitcoin transaction. But you can imagine an attack block that is stuffed full of validity rollup transactions, depending on the size of these validity proofs. Some validity proofs can be as small as like a kilobyte. Some are like 55 or 100 kilobytes. It just depends on the cryptography that you're using. So you can fit more or less of these in a block depending on which proof system you're using. But you know, you would basically have like however many proofs you can fit in the block multiplied by the amount of time that it takes you to validate those proofs. And that will give you like your computational cost to, you know, mining that block basically, or including that block in your blockchain. And the attack block scenario would basically be a miner stuffs their block full of these validity proofs and then broadcasts it. And what you don't want to have happen is that when they broadcast this, it slows down a bunch of full nodes and, or other miners rather, it would slow down other miners because it's taking them a long time to like verify all of these proofs. And while they're working on verifying all of these proofs, that attack miner is already working on the next block, right? So if that kind of scenario was to happen, that would centralize mining, because now the miners who can quickly produce these blocks and then broadcast them and then build on top of them kind of get the lion's share of mining rewards, and everybody else kind of falls behind because it's taking them so long to validate all of these proofs. Based on the calculations that I did, and I include some of the numbers in the paper, even if you stuff a block full of like the smallest proofs that we know of, that would support validity rollups, the time to verify a block is really not significantly different than the time to verify a Bitcoin block today. And so I don't think the verification cost is really a concern. I kind of like added all of that, you know, preamble about it, just to point out that there is a potential problem there. But when I looked into it, my personal opinion is that it's not really a problem. Again, people, you know, are free to disagree, and I'm happy to have that conversation. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's the conclusion I've come to right now.
No stone left unturned. Love that. Let's talk about the cost for full nodes in terms of storage of data, though, because that's an interesting thought. I mean, just you laid out the computation and like that bandwidth, like sending Bitcoin blocks places, and that seems pretty mute. But I know that there's a lot of people out there who don't want to see Bitcoin's the cost of running a full node increase at all. They don't want any more storage costs. You know, that's against a lot of different altcoin ethos. I mean, I saw a video of Vitalik this morning actually talking on the Bankless show about how in 2032 you'll have like millibytes of data streaming to your Ethereum full node on your phone every second. Bitcoin is like, no, we don't want that at all. We want the lowest storage costs as possible. What are your concerns from that camp that's saying like, this is not worth it? It's not worth adding more storage to a Bitcoin full node?
I think there are a few different ways to look at this. One is the block weight limit is already 4 million weight units. And the numbers that I'm using in my estimates here are not changing that limit. So it's working within the limits that are already set by the protocol. I think if people want to limit that further, that is, I think, an interesting conversation, and we can have that conversation. But it's worth pointing out, like, that it is already technically possible to build a 4 megabyte block. It would be very unusual. It would be a very unusual block, but it is a technical possibility according to Bitcoin's consensus rules. But like, you know, maybe a more politically correct answer would be, well, we can limit the amount of data that could go into the rollup block. So, you know, we could say enable validity rollups and just not allow them to get, you know, to get to 4 million weight units. We can say 2 million weight units can be used by rollups, and then rollup blocks wouldn't get any bigger than 2 megabytes, at least with just accounting for the rollup data. And so in that case, I think that might address some of those concerns. You get the trade-off that you're not throughput maxing, right? You're cutting down some of those throughput increases by a proportional amount. Like, you would have it in that case. So instead of a 250,000 transactions, we're talking about 125,000 transactions as your, like, theoretical maximum limit. And, you know, maybe that's a fair trade-off. I think storage is very cheap. It's probably the cheapest resource, that is used by, a full node. And so I wouldn't mind having blocks on average be like a megabyte or a megabyte and a half bigger. But I'm just one guy, you know, one home node runner, with his own opinions, and, you know, it's a political question at the end of the day. So I think it's worth running the numbers, seeing what that actually means in terms of, you know, actual cost increases in sats or, whatever dollar fiat currency terms, per year. And saying, you know, just trying to make a rough kind of decision of, like, is that increase worth it? I don't know how much of a conversation like that there was around SegWit. SegWit more than doubled the limit of data that you could fit in a Bitcoin block. But there was, you know, plenty of discussion around the block size limit and scaling and whatnot around the time. So maybe it was all kind of like one big congealed conversation. But, you know, it is worth pointing out that we have, as a community, looked at the limit and said, okay, we can, like, double it or even more than double it. And that's an acceptable thing to do. And, you know, here I'm saying, like, we could make it the block size limit, like, 30 to 50% bigger and get, you know, like 100x more transactions or, you know, thereabouts. And, you know, whether the community ends up deeming that acceptable or not, you know, it'll be a process of debate and deliberation and weighing the trade-offs, you know. But I would just be happy to get validity rollups in any form, really. I think most of the throughput increases are going to come from protocols that get built on top of validity proofs, or validity rollups. And so whether it's 100,000 transactions per rollup block or 250,000 transactions, I think, you know, the more the better. But, like, you're never going to get billions of, you know, transactions per block or something like that, which would be needed to support, like, everybody. So there's going to be a trade-off at some point where we're like, all right, we literally just can't fit more people onto, like, full trustless, you know, layer one security model. We have to make some kind of trade-offs. And so you know, I don't want the like block size limit to be a sticking point or like the focal point of the debate, because it's, I think it's probably not the biggest concern when it comes to this protocol.
Yeah, especially with the cost of storage going down so quickly year over year. That's a great place to transition to our last part of the conversation, which is like the different scaling solutions that are out there. And you've mentioned a few, we've talked about them on the show already, like Lightning is one. We have Starkware is working on some ideas for bringing zero knowledge proofs to Bitcoin. We have things like RSK, we have things like DriveChain, which we just had a recent podcast about. There's things like Fediment and like Chami and eCash sort of ideas. There's things like Liquid Network, we have a federated sidechain. There's lots of ideas out there. I mean, there's even the idea that maybe we don't need to do anything to Bitcoin and Bitcoin will just be this base layer and will just be used for moving large amounts of money and will continue to use dollars. So not that many people will be onboarded onto the Bitcoin main chain. I want to get your thoughts as a researcher and as a proponent of validity proofs on what the future for this looks like, or what the future should look like for scaling Bitcoin. Just like your unabashed opinion on what the future should look like for this, because there's a lot of different opinions out there and no one seems to be right. I mean, everything has a trade-off.
Yeah, trade-offs abound. And even for validity rollups, like I said, you know, they're not a silver bullet. They have their own, you know, transaction throughput limits, and those limits are nowhere near like what you would need to support, you know, every financial transaction or even payment transaction that happens in the world on a daily basis. So at some point along Bitcoin's scaling journey, there's going to be an inevitable like hard cap where you're like, okay, we literally can't support more people with this like trustless self-custodial peer-to-peer security model without harming Bitcoin decentralization and security. And so we need to loosen our standards around the trust model to something like, say, a federation or a sidechain or this class of protocols that I look at in the appendix of my report called Validia chains. And I think that like having what is more important than when it comes to, I think, the Bitcoin developer community and the Bitcoin community at large, when you're thinking about consensus changes to Bitcoin, I think rather than like betting it all on a particular horse and saying like, this is the one that's going to solve all of our problems, I think it's better if we try to like expand the range of options that is available and let the market find what works best. You know, and this might even be more nuanced to say, like, you know, what works best in a given use case. Like maybe for certain use cases, sidechains are better, and for other use cases, Lightning is better. And for still other use cases, like federated mints might be better. Like having all of those options available, I think is the best way to go, because it gives Bitcoin users more freedom and flexibility to do what works for them. And what validity rollups unlock is like this new class of protocols that has stronger trust models than any like off-chain protocol that you could build on Bitcoin today. So I talked at the beginning about how validity rollups themselves have a security model that is equal to layer one Bitcoin transactions. That doesn't apply to sidechains. It doesn't apply to even Lightning. And it certainly doesn't apply to the centralized or federated protocols that people have been building. And, you know, that's not a knock on these other protocols. Again, I think different trade-offs make more or less sense in different use cases. But like having the option to say, I want to get the benefits of this new rollup or whatever without having to give up the layer one self-custodial security model, I think is a valuable option to have. And then with Validia chains, which are very similar to rollups in that they use validity proofs to build a secure bridge, and they also inherit the double spend security from the layer that they're built on top of, their parent chain. You get this interesting security model where with Validia chains, the data of the rollup is stored off chain. So with a rollup, the data about transactions that are happening on the rollup are stored in the layer one Bitcoin block. Whereas with Validia chains, that data is actually stored off chain. And the question then becomes, like, how is that data secured? Who is protecting the data and making sure that it's available? Because users need that data to be able to produce the validity proofs and get their coins out of the system. If the data disappears, then the coins that have been deposited into the Validia chain or transferred into the Validia chain could become frozen. The important thing here, though, is that they can be frozen. The coins can be frozen, but not stolen, because you still need to be able to produce a validity proof that proves that you own the coins on this other Validia chain in order to get the coins back out and onto the parent chain, either, you know, a rollup or directly back to Bitcoin layer one. This is in contrast to systems like federated mints or sidechains, the federated sidechains or even drive chains that exist today, where third parties can freeze coins and steal coins. So I think having this new option with Validia chains where the third party that you're trusting can only freeze the coins but not steal the coins, like, that's, I think, an interesting new security model. And users should have the freedom to, like, opt into that security model instead of having to trust a third party who can both freeze and steal their coins. And so for me, it's about optionality. And I think by having this pluralistic ecosystem of many different, this whole spectrum of different security models available, greatly increases the likelihood that we are able to support the largest number of use cases and users as Bitcoin scales from, 10 million users to 100 million users to a billion users and beyond.
Yeah, one thing I want to follow up on there is the difficulty with optionality in public engineering, which I think Bitcoin really is a public engineering project at this point, is that you don't always get what you want, right? Because you're going to hit real limitations. So I would love to get a bridge from my house over to where I work during the day, but they're not going to make that just for me, right? So, like, how do Bitcoin designers, the community, core developers, miners, researchers, when we're looking at this, all these things, to make a decision on trade-offs? The point being that Lightning was one decision, right? And people have really rallied around it. And there's some other great ideas out there, but most people don't want them. And it seems the community only has a stomach for on-chain and Lightning at this point. So how do we get to a world where there's less about optionality and choices with how we're going to spend our Bitcoin?
Well, we do see, an emerging effort around federated mints. We see people experimenting with the state chains, with like Mercury Wallet. We see about as much Bitcoin as is currently locked up in Lightning. I know it's not an apples to apples comparison, but, it's a significant amount of Bitcoin, basically thousands and thousands of Bitcoin that's locked up in centralized or federated bridges to other blockchains, such as Liquid, Rootstock, or even the altcoin bridges like WBTC, TBTC, and so on. And I think that shows some appetite for these other kinds of models. And I think part of the Validity rollup thesis is, what if we could get something that is like between Bitcoin as it exists today and these other chains, where we can support a lot of the same use cases as these other chains or these other protocols, but in a way that's trustless, where you don't have to trust the federation, you don't have to trust a centralized custodian, you don't have this inefficient over-collateralized model like you see with TBTC. I think it seems to me like a no-brainer, because we already see the evidence that people do want to use their Bitcoin in these other ways. And the validity roll-up thesis is just, what if people could use their Bitcoin in these other ways, but it's trustless? And I think that's like that's certainly like compatible with the Bitcoin ethos. I think it's within the spirit of the protocol and the community to like take that emergent behavior that's happening and say, can we make that more secure? Can we make that closer to Bitcoin L1, both in terms of security as well as incentive compatibility? Because validity rollups are going to be paying fees to Bitcoin miners. To me, it seems like a great fit. And I think the more people that learn about it and actually dig into the research and like look at these, the way that people are actually using their Bitcoin out there, I think they'll see like there is a lot of evidence that this is something that the community would support. It's something that if we added this change to Bitcoin, people would actually use it. It's not just going to, get in and then like nobody ever builds a roll up. Like, I think it would be something that would be a really big, really valuable addition to Bitcoin. And I think there's a lot of evidence to support that.
John, I want to thank you so much for your time joining the Mining Pod today. Where can people find your work, your research, and your Twitter?
Yeah, so the report that we've been talking about is at bitcoinrollups.org. And you can follow along with other research and opinions that I write about Bitcoin on my website, lightco.in, lightco.in. And my Twitter is at Litecoin, lightcoin.
Yes, Litecoin with a G and an H, not with just a T. John, thank you again so much for joining the podcast. Hopefully speak again with you soon.
Yeah, thanks again for having me.